lined up the top stars from Hollywood and from all over the world to entertain you on a giant screen with a few colorful motion pictures you've been hearing about and reading
about. It's showtime, folks. Enjoy the show.
We're delighted to have you with us.
They're drive-in theater.
You'll find something to please you to add to your evening's enjoyment.
It's pleased to bring you our Fifi feature presentation.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 8 o'clock. It's Monday. It is May 6th. We have passed Cinco de Mayo. We have passed May the 4th. Be with you. We are here, like, just firmly planted in May 6th, and it's got to be May. Are all the things... Do we cover all the May things that we got to say at the beginning of May?
I was so upset the other day when I realized I forgot to post my noodle-haired Timberlake.
It's gonna be May. Well, here we are. It's the Drive-In Speaker Box. I'm your host, Bo, the Boom Operator.
Slick Doggy the Grip.
And for the next hour, we're going to be talking to you about movies. It's what we do. We are going to be talking about box office stuff. We're going to be talking about what's coming out in theaters. We're going to be talking about dead people. We're going to be talking about living people. We're going to talk to you about movies that came out last weekend that we saw. We're going to talk about movies that are coming out in the future that we will see. That's what we do. So thanks for tuning in. We both went and saw The Fall Guy this week. We have not really discussed it with each other yet, so we're going to do that live for you guys. For those of you that are just now joining us, maybe you're downloading this podcast for the first time, maybe you're tuning into this live stream on Facebook or YouTube Live or whatever. We love Twitch. If you want to jump over on Twitch, become a member of Twitch, you can subscribe. You can follow us on Twitch. We actually start the show early. We do a little pre-show just for our Twitch viewers. It's a lot of fun. We were tuning in, talking about that kind of stuff. So yeah, if you're new to the program, we're just going to talk about movies. This we've been doing this a really long time, and you can join in on the fun right here in the chat, right there. You can, as Vince on Twitch, our Twitch mod said, you can see a funny clip of me on Twitch, having beer shoot out of my nose. Very very good times there. But we've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. So let's start with some news. That's what we always do at the beginning of the show. It was a week, obviously. It was Star Wars Day, May the 4th. I don't like that. I guess, when did Star Wars Day become Star Wars Day? Like, when was it official? Do we know? Like, is that a...
Probably sometime after,
like, the internet
episode 3? Because it wasn't around when the movies were still coming out.
Let's see. Okay. USA Today. USA Today reports one of the first instances of the day phrase "May the 4th be with you" was on May 4th, 1979, when a London newspaper writer wished Margaret Thatcher, then the new Prime Minister of Britain, good luck on her first day in office. However, I don't think that we have been really making it a thing until way later. I think maybe 2011, some people are saying. It says it started organically by its fans, but now celebrated around the world in 2011, one of the first big... Okay, so maybe... Let's say around 2011, because...
Yeah, that sounds...
Because now it's like Disney releases a lot of news, everybody, like, watches movies, it's a whole thing. Mark Landry says on YouTube, "I heard May the 4th be with you as a joke when I was like 10 years old, so 1992. But, I mean, we've all said it, but I'm wondering, like, when it became a media, like, when did it get embraced?
2000s, for sure.
Yeah.
Vince says, someone says that May the 4th is the anniversary of Star Wars. No, original Star Wars was released sometime in the summer, because it was like a... summer blockbuster movie, right?
Yes. Yes, it was. Let's see here. I'm looking through. Okay, 2011, the first organized celebration of Star Wars Day took place in Toronto, Canada, at the Toronto Underground Cinema. Produced by blah, 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 festivities included original trivia game show, costume contest, celebrity judges, the second annual edition took place Friday, May 12th. And then Major League Football and baseball all started to jump in on Star Wars Day 2015. We're just going to say 2011. That's just going to be our deal. 2011. Right on. Congratulations, Star Wars Day. But that dominated a lot of the news, but that wasn't all the news. I don't like talking about a lot of Star Wars news. Did you see the one bit of news where the Lego, you know how the Lego Cinematic Universe does their things? They're wanting to make Darth Jar Jar, like, canon?
I saw, well...
Or Lego. Part of their canon, Lego canon.
Lego, which is like, it's all a joke, right?
Yes.
And was it that they make it canon or that they're just going to have it like where you can have a costume? And
well, if it becomes a part of the movie, it's Lego canon, right?
Oh, in the Lego movie, not one of the games or anything. Because in the games, you can do like 200 characters and stuff when you're playing, just running around collecting your... But
that was a really good internet meme, like the Darth Jar Jar. Meme that made a lot of sense. If you're not familiar with it, the whole thing is there is a fan theory that Jar Jar Binks was actually one of the most powerful Sith Lords that was infiltrating there. Pretty cool. Let's see. Big P2213KC on Twitch said they saw all the original movies in the theater on Saturday. That's cool. That was not happening here at our theaters.
Nope.
So
all we got was the episode 1 anniversary or re-release.
The 25th anniversary of episode 1 in theaters this week. We're actually going to be talking about that a little bit later in the box office report because it did pretty well, the re-release of that, which is weird because like a new generation of fans is maybe giving it a second chance. So,
it's bound to have been special edition, Velvet Sand. I don't think that anywhere is allowed to show original.
Unless it's like an illegal showing.
Yeah, there's no way that they would have a film reel because those aren't getting released. Those are locked tight, never to be seen again.
So I actually have a copy of the Holy Trinity edition. And it was a thing that's passed around from people that work in the film industry. And, you know, it's not generally uploaded on certain sites. You kind of got to know somebody to get it. And it was a fan-created edition from all these people that worked in the film industry that were editors and audio techs and all this kind of stuff, and they were getting ripping audio from the Laserdiscs editions, getting as many scans from people that had bought, like, you know, the film, you know, projection film and remastering all that and cutting out all the digital stuff and trying to make the most perfect version of it. And it's pretty good. Like, it looks pretty crispy. And I've got those on a hard drive. Actually, I've got it on 2 hard drives just in case, you know, redundancy.
That's from when like 1080 was probably tops, though.
That's true, but Star Wars and some of those older movies, I don't really want it to be more HD than that because it starts to look like shit.
Yeah, you can probably see shadows on the Rancor and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a certain like fuzz that works. You know, you don't want things so crispy that you see like the stitch lines in Han Solo's jacket, you know, and how cheap everything was like thrown together. You know, that haze of Hollywood makes things a little bit better. But anyway, Star Wars Day just passed us. But there has been other science fiction news that wasn't just Star Wars. And did you hear about Riddick?
I did. I saw that. It's been 11 years since the last movie, Riddick.
Yes.
Came out, and this one is called Riddick Furia.
That's like his race, right?
Right. Yeah. And that's supposedly that's what the plot of this is that Riddick returns to his home planet and looks for the other Furians or something like that. But haven't they established since Pitch Black that he's like the only one?
Isn't that one of the fiction?
One of the whole things of Riddick as a character is that he's like a Lobo type thing. He's just the last one of the last of his kind, and they can see in the dark, and they've got extra strong.
Yeah, and that's why everybody's kind of afraid of him. They're like, shit.
They're like, oh, he's one of these things. Yeah.
Yeah, and he just like pops a Corona and gets in a space muscle car. And
that would actually be pretty sick. Like in that one that has a old. Oh, what's his name? Carl Urban in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just like...
Mark Landry on YouTube wants to know if Riddick is now played by Anna Taylor-Joy, since this is...
she's in every...
Furia.
Yeah.
wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, I really liked the two Riddick movies. I never really got into the animated one.
Well, there's three movies.
Is there three movies?
There's Pitch Black, Chronicles of Riddick.
Chronicles of Riddick,
and
yes.
And then Riddick.
I guess Riddick's the
and
one that...
a canon video game. from way back.
I thought
back
that was an
on
animated one.
Original Xbox.
Isn't there an animated one?
There probably is. I don't know. I can never get into Riddick. I've tried so many
times. I liked the first two. I thought they were good. The first one was one of those like isolation sci-fi horror movies, right? With an anti-hero. Everybody likes an anti-hero. Mm. You know, it's like, oh, I'm the bad guy, but I'm actually the good guy, but kind of still bad. Like, that's good stuff. The second one was like, hey, man, we had a $28 million production budget. We made $100 million off this movie. Let's go crazy. And then there was like spears and, you know, H.R. Geiger sets and all this kind of stuff. And it was a lot of fun. I don't really remember a whole lot about the Riddick movie, though.
Wasn't Pitch Black was the one where he's having to save those people on the planet. And there's like
he's the prisoner.
There's the creatures in the shadows, yes, and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Chronicles of Riddick is the one where they're in the prison, though. That's like on the planet with the sun, and they have to like,
yeah,
they're
and there's
climbing
all the royalty, that, and they got their armors, and
I thought that's the one with Carl Urban and stuff. I thought that was
God. Maybe I'm maybe
I don't
confusing
remember,
it
dude. I've tried to get into it. I can't.
Well, they're making another one.
Yeah, there's another one coming out.
So yeah,
I watch them. It's just I'm not like
in those goggles.
You know, the lore isn't that yeah attractive.
It's like I'm Riddick. Yeah. I don't know how handy that
thanks,
was, but yeah, I don't know. Is this close? Oh man, damn it! Did that just crash?
What'd you do to us?
I don't know. I hit a button. The computer is like not having me. Oh man, let me see here. Sorry for you that are on the podcast. I haven't rebooted this thing in a while.
Bummer.
Damn. All right, hang on. I'm going to pause this really quick.
There was the rewind.
Yeah.
We were talking about Star Wars Episode 1 in 4D while we were trying to figure things out. Because pod racing. Apparently, the pod racing is pretty sick. You get wind in your face and you get rumbled around. Someone comes by and just blow sand on you or something. I don't know. But it's supposed to be pretty cool. What were we talking about right before that? Immediately preceding that.
We were talking about Riddick.
Oh, yeah. Riddick. Those movies are there.
Yeah. There we go. There we go. Talking about Riddick.
Check the movie this week. Super tired. Have a long day tomorrow. All right. Well, thanks for sticking with us through our technical difficulties, Vince. Appreciate it.
Man, technical difficulties. Sorry about that, guys. But we're back.
I have downloaded LimeWire. Dude, I stay far away from Kazaa, LimeWire, all of that type of thing. I ruined at least two computers with Kazaa because that was before torrenting. The only way to get stuff was either IRC or like a Napster, Kazaa, LimeWire type thing. And, you know, I needed movies. And they're specifically anime and Stephen Chow movies.
Stephen Chow, that was about the only way to get it was through LimeWire.
I got lots of Chinese.
You couldn't get them on Napster.
Lots of Chinese movies and anime through Kazaa. But, you know, once torrenting became a thing, or IRC, I guess once IRC became more reliable and you could get bigger files through it, that's where my friends and I safely would download our manga and anime, and then once torrenting became a thing, we got all sorts of out of the country movies to watch. I remember, dude, I downloaded every Stephen Chow movie. It took like 6 to 8 months. I never turned my computer off, and then I was like the sole seater, and I got my share ratio of like one to one, and I was like, it's someone else's responsibility now, because it took 6 months of just sharing that to reach that point.
So there used to be,
you wouldn't download a car,
and I
remember those.
I'm going to show you this right here. This is a website that I used to be a member of. It was called Cinemageddon. You can't get into this anymore. Like, I'm so mad that I lost my ability to be a part of this.
Well, that's like when Pirate Bay cut off their membership.
So Cinemageddon was this place where you had to meet a monthly quota of seeds. Otherwise, you got booted. Hmm. And, you know, I moved and I kept not running my little client or whatever. But Cinemageddon, you can get it's like a unbelievable like stockpile of lost and weirdo movies. Like it's so incredible, and I wish that I could get back in to Cinemageddon. But oh my gosh!
I will say when I was downloading, I never got anything that I could get here easily available to me. Everything I was getting was all anime that will never be translated into English. So fan subs were the only way you were getting it, or things that hadn't been licensed in the U.S. yet that would go on to become real big things, like when Bleach was brand new, or, you know, like I say, Stephen Chow movies or something that we just don't get here. Or when they,
$60 million, man.
When we do get things like soccer, what's the soccer one called? Shaolin Soccer.
Oh, Shaolin Soccer? Yeah.
Yeah, Shaolin Soccer or... Kung Fu Hustle. You don't get the correct version because Shaolin Soccer in English is a different movie. They took like 20 minutes out of it or something. It sucks. But yeah, movies like God of Cookery and things like that we'll never get here. Yeah, that's what I was always getting. So yeah, no Kazaa, I think, or LimeWire, whatever it was.
Well, let's scoot through the news. We've got a couple more things I want to mention because we did lose about 5 or 6 minutes.
Good chunk of time, yeah.
Technical difficulties there. There was a Superman first look from the new James Gunn Superman over on Instagram. You could see what Superman looks like. Don't really care, but
yeah, I'm not caring for the costume.
Yep. Another thing that it got released online. Our first look at the film people have been talking about for over a decade. Is it ever going to actually be made? It's Francis Ford Coppola's Megalopolis. There was a teaser trailer that was released this week. You know, Megalopolis has been... I mean, it has been something... You know, Francis Ford Coppola hasn't made a movie really since 2011. You know, he has not done anything of note. This is a movie that people have been talking about for a really long time. Adam Driver is in this teaser. It looks like it could be a lot more science fiction-y than I even anticipated. But the teaser is out there. You can take a look at it. People are getting pretty excited about it. I mean, it's Francis Ford Coppola, for fuck's sake. Although, here's my deal with aging legends, especially directors. At a certain point... Like you get so old that can you still do it? You know, can you still make the magic happen? Like at a certain point, like your legend outlives your skill. And I don't know, as Vince said, from the mine that brought you Jack. This is true. You know, they're not all winners. But I don't know. Megalopolis is about this. The synopsis is it's a city that is destroyed in a natural disaster. They're this idealistic urban planner, played by Adam Driver, and this mayor who they clash on their visions on how to rebuild the city. But this also has like a sci-fi twist in the teaser where like he like stops time. I don't know. Very mysterious, very interesting. But there is a teaser out there. Other things that I thought were kind of interesting. Did you hear about this? We said we were about to talk about this. Paramount is fielding offers for getting purchased.
Yeah, I think that's something we talked about last week because they were in talks with somebody to be purchased, and Sony was like waiting in the wings.
Yeah,
and they were like, "Hey, I'm first."
Yellow
in line.
Suit guy behind the tree.
Yeah.
But right now, Sony and a private equity firm, Apollo Global Management Group, they have submitted a $26 billion all cash offer to buy Paramount, and that's crazy because the deal would make the company completely private, whereas currently Paramount is a publicly traded company, which is a little weird. It would be a pretty big shakeup combining two ginormous Hollywood studios under one roof, but it would also put Sony in a position to be like, hey, yo, Disney, we out here.
Private ownership could be very good for a movie studio. Because then they don't have to bow to investors, and they can let art be art, and they can let creators do what they want to do without having certain pressures put on them. And we can get some creative things that we aren't currently able to see, because there's too many people that have a say in what is being done outside of screenwriters and directors and
And it also means Paramount
supervisors.
Paramount Plus might not be a thing. We called this a long time ago at the beginning of the internet, that the streaming insanity of all these plus plus minus minus, you know, whatever's, they're going to change hands. Some are going to succeed. Some are going to fail, and we're going to be caught in the middle of all of it. So, it's going to be a weird thing that we're all going to have to get used to. But I wouldn't be mad if Sony bought Paramount. Like, honestly, here's my deal. Like, I don't want to see any sort of monopolies happen in the film world, but if it does mean less of these streaming services, then I'm like, okay, I might buy that for a dollar, as someone just said in the chat. But it might make creativity more, like Jake just said, or it might just funnel everything down one pipe. I don't know, but it does make me nervous. And I also want $26 billion. I want to be a part of that. So the drive-in speaker box is for sale for $26. $2,600. So anyway, I don't know. You know, as Merle said on Twitch, he said, everyone, myself included, clamored for a la carte for so long, but not this way. And it's true. It's like we made this wish on a monkey's paw in an episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark? And then, you know, this is what we got. You know, we got a Goosebumps version of our wish.
If you want TV, internet and TV is like a $200 cable bill, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But then if you don't want it, minimum internet service is like $55 or $75. And then every streaming service is at least $8 to $12. And now you're like, well,
that's the interesting thing. If everybody's like, but cable companies, your cable, cut the cable. It's like, well, you know, you didn't have to buy TV service to buy cable. With internet, you have to buy high speed internet just to have the ability to buy a streaming service.
Yeah, and now that they're all showing commercials, it's defeating the purpose, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. What else? I was going to mention, I don't know if I need to really mention this. It's not necessarily something we really talk about. We'll talk about it later. I'm going to sleep on that one. What do you got? You got any more new things?
The only other real things here is that we got The Boys, the next season. Its trailer came out, so that's there. I'm trying to figure out if I'm still interested in The Boys after it's been gone so long, and if I can get back into it. Lots of brutality, which is, I guess, what a lot of people want, the gore and brutality. We'll see if there's some story mixed in there with it. Mm-hmm. Carl Urban is a good driving force to bring me back. But also, we lost Bernard Hill. Someone mentioned it early in the comments. Yep. Most notable as being King Theoden of Rohan. There in Lord of the Rings.
I mean, another guy. I mean, age 79. He'd
been acting since mid 70s.
He was the captain of the Titanic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah. He was in Scorpion King.
That's right. He was in Scorpion King.
And he was in a whole handful of other stuff. Lots of TV, lots of voice acting. Most notable for Lord of the Rings and the captain of the Titanic.
All right, well, you got any more news, or are we going to move to the next segment?
It wasn't really like a news-heavy week, man.
No, it really wasn't.
Really dominated by Star Wars.
Okay, well, let's do what we do next, which is, at this point in the show, we always tell you what's coming out in theaters this weekend. And like every weekend, there's always new movies that come out. We've got one huge one that's going to, everybody's talking about, it's going to be a blockbuster, mega money-making, you know, thing. And then there's a couple of other movies that are coming out that might not even get a nationwide release. There's a film from director Jeff Fisher. It's called The Image of You. It is about identical twins, Anna and Zoe, that are played by Sasha Peters. Sasha Peters. It's not Peters, it's Peters. Follows identical twins played by the same lady, Anna and Joey. When Anna meets a stock trader, she thinks he's perfect, but Zoe doesn't trust him. So she sets out to discover the truth. And because they're identical twins, they play whatever. It looks pretty lame. And probably Apple TV might get a limited theatrical release, but there you have it. Also coming out from director Johnny Mack, it is a spoof of a Tyler Perry movie. It is Taylor Ferry is commanded by God to write a movie inspired by his crazy dysfunctional family, but the devil has his own devious plans and a hilarious spoof comedy called Not Another Church Movie, and it does not look hilarious at all, and it will probably but it does have some people in it. It's got Jamie Foxx, Mickey Rourke, Vivica Fox, Tisha Campbell. Where's she been? It's got a lot of folks in this movie that might have been hornswoggled into being in this movie.
Mickey Rourke is the devil.
Hell yeah, he is. Have you ever seen his face?
Vince, is this going to be in theaters?
I doubt it. I think this is going to hit streaming and VOD. They might lean on the fact that it's got some star power to be in extremely limited release, but there you go. And the reason why not much is coming out in theaters, because of the next movie that is going to be in every single theater in the country, which is Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. This movie is taking place, directed by Wes Ball. It is taking place many years after Caesar, who we've witnessed in some of the other Planet of the Apes movies that are taking place in that period of Earth being taken over by apes. Because, I mean, the secret's out. We all know that the Planet of the Apes is Earth, right? Do we all know that now? Do we know? Can we not feel uncomfortable about spoiler alerting a movie that's like 52 years old?
I was about to say, that was like the big spoiler only for the original. Right, and then ever since then, it's one of those things where everyone knows who Darth Vader is to Luke. Everyone knows that, you know, you damn dirty apes destroyed it.
We know that Soylent Green is made of people.
You destroyed it all.
Yeah. So we know, right? And this one is a young ape who, I guess,
you blew it all to hell.
Telling the same story that we've already seen in many other versions of Planet of the Apes. It's questioning everything taught about the past
and
defining the future for apes and man.
That is the one thing. I really liked the Caesar trilogy.
Mm-hmm. So did I.
I liked all of those movies. The way they ended and stuff with hope for the apes in the future, and they're set off to create their civilization free of the violence of mankind being wrought upon them and to establish their new world. I was like, yeah, these were good movies. I liked these movies. And then the trailer for this movie comes out, and I'm like, we don't need another damn Bright Eyes. Why do you always have to have Bright Eyes? Because you had Heston as Bright Eyes, and that's the way it should be. That movie is, the original Planet of the Apes is very good. I watched it in the theater. It's incredible. I love it. It's amazing. The Caesar trilogy, Caesar was the one with like the blue eyes or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the mutations and stuff like that. All that worked out the way that they kind of did that mutation made him and had some sort of connection that didn't mean anything, but it was there for, you know, people to do like the DiCaprio thing. Oh, you know?
Yeah.
But this doesn't make sense. We don't need another Bright Eyes. We don't need another. It looks like it's just a rehash of the original Planet of the Apes,
I mean,
for the most part.
That's what I got out of it.
One sympathetic ape that's trying to help this human and is in conflict with the ape government.
And
but we know how it's going to turn out, because this takes place between the end of the Caesar trilogy and the original Planet of the Apes.
That's right.
They ain't gonna win, and there ain't gonna be a happy ending. And if there is, then it makes no sense, and
then
the timeline is wrong.
Messed it up.
Yeah. So I don't understand the point of this movie. I like Planet of the Apes, and I don't understand what this movie is or who it is for, other than
money,
dollars. So,
you know, and Freya Allen's starting to pop up a lot. Everybody started to pay attention to her after The Witcher, seasons 1, 2, 3, and she'll probably be in 4 now, being, you know, led by not Henry Cavill. But she's playing the new Bright Eyes ish character. It's set up to make a shitload of money. Everybody's talking about it. It has zero competition coming in this weekend. So, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if I want to see it or not. I feel like no. But I've watched all the other ones.
Yeah, I'm not excited about seeing it. So there you go. Velvet Santa says the popcorn bucket will be an atom bomb. That would be pretty funny. Okay, well, that's what's coming out in theaters this week. And let's go ahead and talk about the movie that we saw. You want to talk about that one?
Yeah, we can.
Let's talk about the Fall Guy.
I can give a quick rundown of Unfrosted, too, while you're pulling up some info. Just the quickest rundown. So I watched Unfrosted on Netflix. The
Pop-Tart movie.
Yeah, the new Jerry Seinfeld movie about the fictitious origins of the Pop-Tart. It's a garbage movie. It's just turds. It's a bunch of different comedic actors all thrown together in a movie with little bits here and there. None of them hit. It's a very boring movie.
You know, I will also maybe add, and this, I didn't see the movie, but I follow Jerry Seinfeld. I think he's a funny guy, but I think he's not as funny as he used to be. Mm-hmm. And I was watching, have you seen the thing that's on Netflix right now? It's like the Everybody's in LA, the John Mulaney. It's like live the next several days, and they're doing like a live thing. Jerry Seinfeld was on the last episode. Not funny at all. Like, kind of just being a dick. And, you know, and it made me not want to watch The Unfrosted.
Yeah, I mean, there's... The main focus is Seinfeld. What's his name? The dude, white hair.
Larry David.
No, Hot Pockets.
Oh, crap. Another comedian guy.
Another comedian guy.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
It's the two of them, and then Amy Schumer, and it's like all of these people that just are past their prime, or they're not funny anymore, and stuff. And then there's a lot of comedic actors that are there. That just, I don't, none of it hit. None of it felt funny or even fun. Jim Gaffigan, thanks. You know, there's, it's just a lot of misses. There's like weird ravioli creatures that come to life and things that don't make sense. The whole plot of the movie is that there's a kid running away from home. He walks into this soda bar, mm-hmm. and order some Pop-Tarts, and he goes, leave the box, and the guy, you know, the soda man, the soda jerk, he's like, oh, that kind of, you know, that bad of a day, and the kid's like, you tell me, and he reads the story of Pop-Tarts on the back of the box, and he goes, huh, good story, and then Jerry Seinfeld's like, oh, let me tell you the real story, and he's just holding the kid captive until his parents arrive, and the kid's
that pretty
like,
much sounds like a lot of Jerry Seinfeld stuff, like, what is it, comedians in cars with coffee, and he's just holding people hostage, and he's like, you're driving with me, and
well,
like, oh God, Jerry Seinfeld, can we just go?
He's keeping the kid there until his parents show up, and the whole thing is like, is he just making this up, is it total BS, and then the end of the movie is like, no, this is how it was. It doesn't make sense. I don't know who this movie is made for. It misses at every turn. Like there's not one part of it that really makes it worth your time or a watch. It's not even something to have going in the background because everything is so flat. It's just such a drag. I had it on when I was in the background and it just made me so frustrated with everything that I was trying to do. I don't think it's worth anyone's time. Maybe a kid or two might like it, but it's a total miss. I did not care for it.
All right. Well, Unfrosted on Netflix, you can check it out or you can't. You don't have to take our word for it, but not a recommend from us. However, we did both see The Fall Guy, which is the new film from director David Leitch. If you don't know him, he was known for... He's a producer on Bullet, John Wick. He's the director of Bullet Train, directed Atomic Blonde. He directed Hobbs and Shaw. He directed Deadpool 2. You know, he's a stunt guy. Like, he loves stunts. And what a lot of people don't know is he was a stunt coordinator and action choreography for years. And he was a stunt double for years, like going back into the 90s. He was I mean, he was in a stunt coordinator on Orgasmo back in 1997 and Blade in 1998. Like this Fight Club, he was the stunt double for Brad Pitt.
Was he the stunt cock?
Yes.
In Orgasmo, stunt cock.
But this guy, you know, has been a stuntman. He's been a stunt coordinator. Then now he's a producer. Now he's a director, and he can make some freaking action movies. And so that's what got me in the theater initially, because I don't necessarily like romantic comedies. If you listen to my show or watch the show very often, you'll know that I'm not a big fan of romantic comedies.
Except for Romancing the Stone.
Which is Anne War of the Roses and Sahara. There are, I mean, you know, Matthew McConaughey. Full which
gold.
There was a lot of Matthew McConaughey energy being channeled by Aaron Taylor Johnson
yeah.
in this one. Which Aaron Taylor Johnson is a lot of fun. Ryan Gosling's a lot of fun. Emily Blunt is great. You know, you've got Winston Duke, who is always a lot of fun. Some pretty cool character or casts in this movie. So I was like, let's go see it. This movie was a lot of fun.
This movie was a lot of fun.
I did not expect to walk out of that theater as fulfilled as I thought I was going to be. I was like, it'll be all right, you know, whatever. Guy. And it is very formulaic romantic comedy. And I'm like, well, it got me, though. I was like, shit, the formula worked.
It's very aware of itself, and it's very meta, you know, because it's a movie about making movies and everything like
which
that.
Which I'm also a sucker for.
And Gosling's character narrates it to you. He knows that you're the audience and everything. But, man, this movie opens up with Kiss, and you're just like,
yeah, the whole yes. All the trailers played Journey, and there was no Journey in the movie, but they orchestrally remastered in like 9 different ways Kiss's I Was Made for Loving You, which, you know, we're already sold. It was just fun. And yes, it's based off of a TV show, and there was some over-the-top references, but they definitely references
and cameos from the TV show mm-hmm. are there.
Especially at the end. Did you stay for the after credits?
There's no after credits, but there's mid-credits.
Mid-credits, yes. Yeah, you stayed for that. So I don't want to spoil any of that, but yes, the answer to your question in Twitch comments is yes. And what I will say about this movie is it's formulaic in scenes. You know, I went and saw this movie, and I was sitting in the theater, and the karaoke scene, I was like, oh, he's never going to make it to karaoke, and she's going to get mad, and they're going to have to, like, make up. I'm like, look, I've seen enough romantic comedies, and I know that this is going to happen. But it was done in a fun way. Ryan Gosling plays a stuntman so well. The only non-believable part of this is Ryan Gosling is way more handsome than Aaron Taylor Johnson's character in this movie. And so they're like, oh yeah, stupid stunt guy. It's showing your face, you ugly schmuck. And it's Ryan Gosling, okay? That was the only part where I'm like, why don't...
Yeah, he was young Hercules.
Yeah, it's Ryan freaking Gosling. But, you know, it doesn't do anything new for the genre of romantic comedy, but it does. What it does make new is, I don't think anybody would not like this. Like, this is like such a perfect date movie. It hits every element that you want. It's got the cheesy, like very formulaic, you know, boy meets girl conflict, guy, blah blah blah. You know, the whole rom-com bullshit, but it also hits the action movie tropes of, like, you know, there's bad guys, there's guns, there's action, and he's a stuntman, so he's equipped to, like, handle a lot of these difficult situations with gusto.
Well, and you know, a lot of it too, he's kind of lucky. It's showing that he's not like a skilled operative or something. He's thrown into this situation, and there's times where he comes close to getting murked out.
Well, I really like the scene where him and his stunt coordinator friend, who is played by Winston Duke, he plays the character Dan, they're going and looking for this phone, and these bad guys shows up, and they know that they've only got props, and they know that these guys are going to come and get them. And there's a lot of interesting things. If you watch the movie, like, he moves this couch, like, intentionally moves mm-hmm. this couch near the stairs. Like, you wouldn't see this in a normal action movie, but all these stunt coordinators made this movie. So they're like, okay, if it were me, I'd move the couch over here near the thing if I knew I was going to run up there and jump off of it. So he, like, you know, it didn't telegraph the fact that he was going to push this guy over the stairs, but he knew it was a possibility, so he put the couch into place so the bad guy fell on the floor. He fell on the stairs using blank guns in their, you know, in their advantage, like the Miami Vice scene. Oh my God, the music and everything, it was so good, and it telegraphed that scene too, because he was talking about it. He's like, I could do that with my hands behind my back.
The whole movie. But there's nothing to be mad at.
No, there's nothing to be mad at. And it's 2 hours long and it didn't drag at all. It was predictable as fuck and it didn't drag.
Even as it gets more and more complicated, because it is self-aware and talks, it's like, no, man, you're going to muddy up the story and people are going to lose interest and stuff. And then it does something to bring you back in, because it's like, it's one of those things where it points it out before you can, but everything's done in a very fun way to keep you engaged, and I liked it. Man, I had such a good time throughout the entire movie.
Yes. You know, that's something you don't see a lot in movies.
And the stunt reel at the end of it, Jackie Chan style.
Showing you all the behind-the-scenes stunts, all the stunt men, and Ryan Gosling when he was geared. You got to see some of the realness of what's going on. And because stunt work is really kind of a dying art, you know. I mean, you think we see all these Marvel movies and we see all these over-the-top movies with what we think are stunts. And a lot of it's just done in post. You're on a wire and you're in front of a green screen. And the most that happens is an actor just goes, zip, and then that's it. You know, they're on a little crane thing and zip, and they're done. But this is like, they're buckling up, they're putting on helmets, they're flipping cars, they're blowing up, they're getting caught on fire. Like, it's kind of old school in a way that you don't see a lot anymore because of liabilities and insurance. But it was fun to see that on screen. And there was a moment that, and this is going to be really weird for anybody that either knows me or works in audio. Like, I like meta movies. You know, I'm not a super sucker for movies that are about movie making, but when I see movies about movie making that get details right, I'm just like, ooh, yes, because they're including things that you would normally not see. And there was a scene where they're about to get Aaron Taylor Johnson's character into this car, and he's getting into costume, and the sound guy comes up with his phone and is going in, and what he's doing, most people would never know what's going on. He goes, couldn't we have done this later? And he's like slapping at the audio guy, and he goes, kick, kick. And what he's doing is he's turning on his lav mics. And it's one of these things that there's no reason they should have included that, except for the fact that they were passionate about making it authentic to a film set. Because nobody, except for anybody that would have worked in a movie, would have ever understood what was happening. It was noise. But I was like, damn, okay, they're hitting all the points. Like the go to two, like the communications on the walkie, the way that they were dragging out the stunt coordination team, the way that they're reacting. That's how it's done on set. And it was like really fun to watch that and go, oh shit, yes, you're not leaving any of the dirty details out while also trying to entertain a bunch of fans that have no clue what's going on. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciated that. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it's a good time. Not a bad movie.
And they played the Miami Vice theme song.
Yeah.
Jan Hammer, like that is a. Although he was on the shitty remake movie.
I was about to say he was on the not the movie. Not the Jamie Foxx.
I thought that was his. The jacket was,
no,
he was on
from
the
show, from the remake show.
Oh God, that's even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. But still, Miami Vice theme song. And then, and he like ramps a thing, and there's explosions and boats, and it's pretty fun. It made me want to like punch dudes and like ramp cars and do donuts and you know,
have attack dogs.
Oh my God, Jean-Pierre. Oh my God, this dog stole
the
show.
What about the other dog? They just left it.
Oh, there was a French stunt dog, and they had he only did French commands, and it was so good. And he was a character the whole movie, and normally I don't like just cheesy dog characters, but because he was French and all the commands were in French, and He came in and saved the day so many times. He was there the whole movie. It was great. And evil producers, like if you've ever worked on set, they're all horrible people. And yeah, it was just
cool plot twist. And
that was a pretty cool plot twist.
Yeah, there's fun action, cool plot twist, good music,
fantastic music,
fun story.
Yeah. And I feel like this movie is not going to get the credit it deserves. Even though Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt are like on their A game right now, I feel like it just hasn't gotten the internet hype. I've seen the trailer a trillion times, but it hasn't gotten the internet hype that I think it needed.
I can see this being one of those movies where if it comes on TV, if you still have cable, like we were talking about earlier, like it's one of those like a Shawshank type thing. If it's on TV, like or Die Hard or something, if it's on TV, you're like, well, this is what we're watching now. Yeah.
I think this is going to have a huge, I don't want to say resurgence, but I feel like it'll do okay in the theaters. But when it hits streaming, I think it's going to go bam. Like, what was that movie that kind of did that with Channing Tatum and Sandra Bullock? And it was like that romantic comedy. Brad Pitt was in it for a little while.
Oh, the romance novel.
Yeah, and it wasn't bad, but then on streaming, a lot of people ended up watching it.
Crap, I watched that movie.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. No, it wasn't Bird Box. Velvet Santa, no.
Crap, what was that movie called? I watched it. It was good. It was a good movie.
It wasn't bad for a rom-com, and you know how I feel about those. So, okay, well, anyway, that's out. The Fall Guy, go see it. It's fun. Lost City, yes, thank you. Thank you, Vince. It's out there. In terms of what is in theaters right now, and even with the new Planet of the Apes, I would say Fall Guy's going to be the one.
Fall Guy's a definite, just it's a better choice than Planet of the Apes.
It's a good movie.
You've seen Planet of the Apes. We've all seen Planet of the Apes, mm-hmm. and we're just getting another one. Bad monkey, not monkey. I don't want to be one of those people. Ape. Bad ape, yeah. Good ape. Bad ape, and then a human that they're trying to be nice to or something. It looks dumb and goofy, but Fall Guy is a solid movie. It's what you go to the movies for.
Yes. Yeah. So we both liked it. We both had a really great time. And
oh man, the way that they do that too.
Horns.
There's like four different versions of "I Was Made for Loving You" throughout the movie, and then you can hear it through like other different little songs. Because every time I could like pick it out a little bit.
Like, oh, I remember the first time when I and I just like hands went down on the seat, and I was like, this is the perfect, because I mean it's the perfect song.
As soon as the movie opened up, I was like, yeah,
because he was made. Loving her,
yeah, you know? It's good. And then, you know what, the comedy in that movie is solid too.
I mean, Ryan Gosling can do it all, and he said that he doesn't want to take any more serious roles. Like, he's like, I've done all my serious roles. Well, I just want to take lighthearted fun roles.
He can do ones like this, or what's that one with him and Russell Crowe where they're like, oh, the PIs.
It's like the bad guys or the dirt bags or it's like the Fall Guys. It's something, the good guys.
Yeah, movies.
It's the guys. Nice guys.
Nice guys. Yeah. Yeah, movies like that. Yeah, if he just wants to keep doing movies like this, mm-hmm. or he's just having fun, you know, do like the Daniel Radcliffe thing where he's like, I'm just going to have fun with it. Yeah.
I'm rich and this is fun and people pay me. Yeah. So anyway, you can check it out. It's in theaters right now. We both recommend it. And Vince is like, I said everything but nice guys. I did. So, all right. Well, there you go. Let's hit this box office roundup because it is time for us to wrap this show up. Even though we had some technical difficulties, you stuck around for it. Thank you for sticking through. But we're going to give you the box office roundup for this last weekend, which is May 3rd through 5th. You know, May the 4th. They were talking about one of the worst box office weekends that we've had in a long time. But it was May the 4th day. Weather was pretty interesting. It was also Cinco de Mayo. It was a lot of stuff. But May 3rd through 4th, 2024, Jake's going to give you the top 10. This is mostly domestic numbers, unless we say otherwise. And Yeah, take it away, Jamie.
Actually, real quick, I want to do the top 12 because Dune Part 2, 10 still weeks out, $763,000, $281 million in the U.S. And then Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, unfortunately, in its third week, already out of the top 10, 1.6, only brought in 18.4. That one, too, I think will be more fun on streaming for people.
I think we're going to get a lot more.
Or they can sit at home and watch that one. But coming in at number 10, dropping from the number 8 spot, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, 7 weeks out from Sony.
It seems like 100 weeks out.
Yeah,
like,
dude, $1.8 million brought in by that one. Just under $110 million in the U.S. It's only brought in internationally, so under $200 million across the globe. Not enough to make its money back at all. But you know what? Screw that movie. Despite you said it was fun.
It was all right. It was good. I didn't hate it.
There doesn't need to be more Ghostbusters. And then coming in at number 9, Abigail, in its third week, $2.3 million brought in by that one, $22.8 in the U.S., another 12 across the globe, bringing it under 35. It's a horror movie. That's probably enough
ballerina to vampire
make it successful, child. I'm sure. And then at number 8, holding strong in the top 10 for the 9th week, from Universal Pictures, Kung Fu Panda 4, $2.5 million, $188.5 in the U.S. alone, another $332 across the globe, bringing it over half a billion bucks.
$332 million. Dollars.
Fourth, like, installment.
It's crazy that it made that much overseas. Like, wow. Wow.
And then at number 7, Unsung Hero, just under $3 million, bringing it to 13. It's a faith-based movie. I'm sure that $13 million is enough to cover entire budget. And then at number 6, dropping from the number 4, Civil War, $3.5 million brought in by that one. And its fourth week out, bringing up to $62 million here in the U.S. It's actually brought in another $38 million across the globe.
An interesting turn of events for A24, because normally A24s don't get a lot of international release. Yeah. So there you go.
$100 million in total across the world for Civil War, which for an A24 movie might be pretty good. And then at number 5, Godzilla X Kong, New Empire, another $4.5 million, 6 weeks out, $188 million in the U.S. It's brought in $547 million across the globe.
Making it the most successful of these new
things. Which is crazy a movie like that can get under $200 million in the U.S. and they're still like, yeah, we're doing it. You know, because normally we're used to seeing like these Marvel movies or things like that where it didn't make $200 million in the opening week. Trash, garbage, we failed.
Well, it's interesting to me, you know, I always reference the World of Warcraft movie. Because, you know, Warcraft did terribly in the United States, but across the globe did very, very well. And we never saw a sequel. They were like, nah, it's still garbage. But Godzilla over here, you know, they're like, it's the best.
Maybe it's because the people in the U.S. were like the only people that are like, why are there sexy orcs? This is weird. And the rest of the world is like, we'll take sexy.
You know, orcs. One of my friends actually did voice work in World of Warcraft as one of like the lead troll ladies. Like
not one of the sexy ones.
I mean, as sexy as it is in the video game, I don't know.
Yeah, but the movie, that was the whole thing.
How sexy is a troll? They got the tusks and stuff.
Yeah, it was just the weirdest part about it. They're like, oh, the dude from Vikings is going to stare
sex at on an orc.
Yeah, it was such a weird movie. And then opening at the number 4 spot, $6.5 million brought in by Tarot. It's made half that across the world, so $10 million brought in by that one in its opening week. Probably not good for it. I'm sure they wanted more, but...
Yeah, I think they were hoping a little bit more because it's horror. I mean, it's low budget, high return, but it still could, you know?
It was going against movies like the number 3 spot, Challengers, brought in $7.6 million in its second week, bringing it up to $29.5 million. Everyone wants to see Zendaya having tennis boys fight over her. It's brought in around $52 million across the globe as its total. And then at number 2, Star Wars Episode 1.
Episode 1.
Phantom Menace in its 25th anniversary release, coming in at number 2 with $8.7 million in the U.S., only in 2,700 theaters. That got it another $15 million globally. So how about that?
Not too bad.
And then opening at the top spot, The Fall Guy with $27.7 million. Not the kind of money that they were really hoping for.
True.
From this thing, but enough that it conquered the box office for this week. Yeah. You know, and I know they were singing big praises for Challengers last week by making, what, it was like $12 million or something. It wasn't a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure this one cost a little bit more. Because there was lots and lots of stunts and explosions and things that cost dollars.
I mean, yeah. What a box office upset. Interesting thing. You know, Fall Guy, it's our recommendation. I mean, if you want to go see Star Wars Episode One, I'm sure that would be a fun thing to check out in the theater. I want to give shout-outs to Fairly Critical if you guys aren't following him on Twitch. Fun cooking show. He's about to move, though. I don't know. What does that mean about your channel? Fairly Critical. Want to know. We inquiring minds want to know. What else? I mean, that's it. We did it,
that's
right?
That's the end of the show?
This week, you know, don't forget to join our Discord. This week, we're not going to be doing the weekly movie. Vince, the one, our Twitch and Discord mod, is cannot host this week, so we will be picking that up next week. Fairly Critical over on Twitch, he says, we'll be streaming again in June once he has moved and set up. Great cooking stuff, great content over there on the Fairly Critical channel on Twitch. If you guys want to join up on that, it's taking a break while he tears down and packs, so he will be back after he moves. But the link to the Discord for the Drive-In Speaker Box is right there. Vince just dropped it in Twitch. Thank you, everybody, that checked us out on YouTube or on Facebook. We do love Twitch. We love our Twitch people and our Twitch partners. You can always get a part of that pre-show. You can join us all the time over on Discord. Or you can just download the audio version of this podcast wherever it is you like to download your podcasts. You just search for the Drive-In Speaker Box podcast. You can even tell your smart speaker to play the Drive-In Speaker Box podcast. You gotta throw in podcast and they will do it, and you don't have to do like this motion that I'm doing, but it helps, you know. Big P221 KC says Screenland Armor Theater still showing all three Star Wars if anybody's in the Kansas City area. That's pretty cool. I might have to go watch my Holy Trinity version, and maybe I shouldn't say this out loud, but if you're a member of the Discord, I might tell you how to get it. I don't know. I didn't say that out loud. We don't know. You know, don't send your goon squads after me, Disney. But thanks for tuning in. Like, subscribe, do all those things. As always, I'm the boom operator. I gotta click some buttons before I realize we had a terrible situation in the studio earlier where we had to reboot everything. So now I gotta click to get my music back. So Jake, you say some stuff.
Well, it's the end of the show. What do you say at the end of the show?
Man, I don't know stuff.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks.
Do you have like a limerick?
I don't. You know what I mean? I sure don't. No. I haven't known a limerick since I was a child.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's dumb.
Who's just going like, around?
There once was a man from.
Yeah.
Fayetteville who. Something and something like Fayetteville and Demina, Nemina, 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 Jemma, Gemma, Bayetteville. I don't know. Anyway, all right. Well, that's it. We're done. How about that?
As you leave the theater, folks.
All right. Thanks,
please,
guys.
Be careful. Don't let this happen to your car. Be sure to remove the speaker before you leave. If you should accidentally pull a speaker loose, please turn it in at our snack bar or box office. Thank you.